Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner, video journalist and digital media director for the Michigan District. Today, we're talking with a pastor here in the Michigan District who was in New York 20 years ago, just after 9/11. We'll hear his story and incredible witness to how God was working at this time. Hi, I'm Jeff Heisner. I'm pleased to be joined by Reverend Carl Bassett, who is wrapping up his time at Redeemer Lutheran in Jackson. And Pastor Bassett, you have a special story to tell about your time during 9/11 20 years ago. Why don't you begin with where you were and what you were doing?
Okay. It seems just like yesterday, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you today. I was actually in Elk Grove Village, Illinois, at Alexian Brothers Hospital, taking a clinical pastoral education course when all of that happened. And I received a phone call from my daughter, who had been witnessing things on the TV, and she expressed her concern, "Dad, what's happening? What's going on?" And from that point on, we realized that we were under attack, that we had an issue going on that was something we had never experienced. And I had been with the FBI, and still am, since 1993 as a special agent chaplain to serve the Bureau. And I was a part of, and still am a part of, their crisis response unit. And within minutes after all of this started unfolding, Pentagon, the strikes on the tower, Flight 93, I received a page from my boss, the special agent in charge in Chicago. And he put me on immediate alert to probably travel east to attend to the needs of those who were in this crisis. And after a lot of phone calls to my wife, to my family, to my district president, who happened to be Bill Amice at the time, things started rolling. And within a few days, I think the 16th, when the plane started flying again, I was on a plane with a whole bunch of other federal agents and military people flying eastbound to do whatever I could do.
So you got a chance to be down there just after 9/11. And one of the interesting stories I know that we've talked about, you were there when that Ground Zero cross was found.
Yes, I was. That was probably about three quarters of the way through my time there, which was 2 weeks staying there on site. And I was finishing up a shift that day. And my supervisor there from Albany, New York, a federal agent, said to me, "Chaplain, you got to see this." And he pulled around with his altar, didn't even know he had, since I've been walking the site for 18-hour days for the last 2 weeks, pretty tired. And he said, "You got to see this. I guarantee you won't regret it." And we rode over to Building 6, which was one of the many buildings around the base of the Trade Towers. Totally demolished, no roof on it anymore, just an incredible amount of debris. The walls were still there, but anyway, as I got there, I saw scrawled on the side of the wall the words "God's House" in orange with a big arrow pointing inside. And that immediately perked my attention, obviously. And I entered the space carefully. And when I got in there, I found a construction worker by the name of Frank Celicia, who had been there since the beginning. And he knew I was a chaplain, and he called me Father. He says, "Father, you got to see this. You have to see this. We got to tell people about this." And in the midst of the terrible debris, twisted remains, prominently was a large cross made out of I-beams that, believe it or not, had randomly, of course we know not randomly, fallen out of that destruction and implanted itself in the middle of all of that confusion and chaos. To one side, there was another taller cross still erected. There was another one laying on the ground. It made me think about Calvary, you know, with the three crosses. But they weren't put there. They fell there that way. Part of the airplane skin was hanging off the one cross, which ultimately became known as the World Trade Center cross. And this man was so excited about that. He said, "I had been here since day one," he says, "and I was so depressed." And he said, "But I saw this cross and I realized Jesus was there and he was taking people home. And we got to tell people. We got to tell people. I don't know what to do." And long story short, I had a relative, a friend of mine, Rod Dreher. He's a journalist working for the New York Post. I got him entrance into the site. He took some pictures and had some friends, Rudy Giuliani, Barbara Walters, Cardinal Egan. And through those efforts with those higher-ups, they excavated that large cross completely out of Building 6 and placed it right outside of Building 6 as a rallying point. And for months, it stood there as a point for all people of any faith or no faith to come to. And it since is now in the World Trade Center Museum. It's been the site of a lot of controversy because it's a cross, but thank God it's still there. And many of us have fought for that to stay there.
So many different pictures and scenes. You shared some with us. One that stuck out to me just automatically as soon as you first sent it was the amazing shot of that firefighter who's got his hands on his head, the destruction and the rubble all around him.
Yes, it was one of the common sights there. I came across this man in that position, and right there, not far from him, not even 25 feet away, was a smoldering heap, even days after the explosion and the downfall there. It was still hot. He was there in that position. I walked up to him, and I knew better to say, "How you doing?" because none of us were doing good. I just walked up gently to him, and he looked up, and then he looked down, and he put his arm around my leg. And the only words he said was, "I called in sick, and my whole company died, and I'm not leaving here till I find somebody." And then he grabbed my leg tighter, and I didn't say, "Let us pray," or "Can we pray?" But I put my hand on his shoulder, and he gently put his head up against my leg. And we stood there together, and I'm praying, "God, comfort this poor man." And in a matter of a minute or two, he stood up, and he looked at me with tears in his eyes, and he took his big pipe that he had, and he said, "I'm going back." And I never saw him again. He went back into the pile, helping those people, trying to find some remnant of the people that he had served with. And I, you know, again, the presence of the Lord was in that place, as terrible and as hellish as it was. Christ and his spirit was all over that place, reaching out. So that was a tremendous moment. I tried to see if I could ever see him again while I was there, but I never did. There was just far too many people and too many things that we were doing. You know, it was amazing to see God working to comfort in such a unique way. You know, it was wonderful.
That is the amazing thing. In the midst of all that destruction, in the midst of all that horror and everything else that's going on, you're feeling the presence of God and knowing that he's there with you.
I can tell you, you know, one this real quick thing. Standing there, first of all, there was every conceivable smell that you could imagine. There was constant haze there because it was misty. It rained on occasion, and the pile was so hot, it was like a smoldering dump. It was terrible. And I was standing there one day just about at the edge of the end of my rope, and there was a cool breeze that blew through, and it cleared the haze, and it brought a little bit of cool, and the sun sort of perked out up there. And I can tell you with all sincerity, at that moment, I felt the presence of Christ there more than I've ever felt in almost 35 years of ministry. He was there, and it was obvious that he was there. And it didn't matter who you were or what church you belonged to, he was there. And that moment, it gave me courage to, "Lord, use me however you will. Just let me go back, do whatever you want me to do." And he did for the whole time that I was there for those 2 weeks.
You know, and you kind of answered my next question. What I was going to ask you was, what was it like and how did it change you?
I think it changed me in the sense that, you know, first of all, I'm a veteran of Vietnam. I had two combat tours there, not as a pastor, but I was there for other means. I'd been a director of a clinical laboratory before going to the ministry. I'd been a pastor for all those years. And absolutely, when I walked on that site for the very first time and saw the immensity that you all didn't see on the TV, the immensity of what happened and how it affected everything all around it, I stood there and I remember my words to the Lord inside, "Dear God, I don't even know what to do." I didn't have a clue. And I even now as I'm talking to you, I still get the chills, you know, and I felt at that point in time, I was having the confidence to know, be still and know that I am the Lord. And I went wherever he would lead me. And I met all kinds of people, from sanitation workers to firefighters to police officers to families. And in every circumstance, they were unique, but yet everybody shared the commonality of extreme feelings of sadness, anger, all mixed together, all those emotions, all in one big pile. And yet God was there for the stability as I went through this, to do whatever I could do for hurting souls, including my own. There, my district president was a great guy. He called me every day, more than once, and he said, "Hey, how you doing? You okay? Do you need anything?" And I was forever grateful to him, to my wife, and my family that we kept in contact with, and to my brother-in-law, who's long since with the Lord, who was a fire chief from Louisiana, Ray Dreher. And Ray, man to man, profession to profession, was there to help lift me up every day. And it changed my life in that sense of really knowing what God's presence is all about. We can read it and we can study it and we can believe it, but when you experience it in that way, it was like, oh my gosh, thank God you're here, because I don't know what to do.
And you currently are still working as a chaplain for the FBI, correct?
I'm still a chaplain with the FBI. I'm now one of their senior chaplains. It's myself and another guy. We've been with them since 1992. I'm still serving on crisis teams. I respond to all kinds of stuff, things like TW-800, hurricanes, homicides, murders, kidnappings, agents coming back from terrible places like Kosovo. I still do that. And on top of that, you know, that sort of led me to now in Michigan. You're liable to see me riding around in what we call the Blue Goose, which is our blue state police cars. I'm a captain in the Michigan State Police. Here at the age of 74, still able to get in and out of the vehicle and do the Lord's work.
Well, God bless you, and thank you so much for everything. And I know those people in New York and the people that you helped are forever grateful as well.
Thank you. To God be the glory. And thank you so much for letting me share the story. And believe it or not, even talking to you, Jeff, today comforts me on a hard day and a hard weekend. And I know there's a lot of prayers out there. So thank you so much for that.